exciting new sound of the Vox Wah Wah pedal. Let the electric prunes demonstrate the difference. Play it prunes first without the Wah Wah pedal. Now, listen to the difference when you push that Vox Wah Wah pedal down. You can even make your guitar sound like a sitar. It's the now sound. It's what's happening. That's why the Electric Prunes, Animals, Herman's Hermits, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Stones, the Seeds are all using the Vox Wah Wah pedal, and it works with any amplifier. If you're a professional musician or want to sound like one, get with the new Vox Wah Wah pedal at your Vox dealer now.
As demonstrated on Rumbletone Radio Agogo, heard Wednesdays from 3 till 5 p.m. here on CITR.
You people feel like making some noise tonight?
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Cookie Monster's favorite radio station.
Good night, Chicago! Brutal!
You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. This is We All Fall Down. My name's Marielle. This week, I have a special surprise for you. This week I am airing my interview with Alkaline Trio. Alkaline Trio were playing an all-ages show here in Vancouver last Friday at the Croatian Cultural Center, and I was lucky enough to have the chance to interview them. I had the help of my friends Malcolm and Craig. Thank you very much for coming along and helping me out, taking photos, throwing in questions, and having a good time. The show was rad, guys. If you missed it, don't know what to say to you. Snooze, you lose. But it was in the small room at the Croatian Cultural Center, so it was a bit more intimate than the last time Alkaline Trio played here. And maybe they'll be back soon. I hope so. They have a new album coming out July 1st. It's called Agony and Irony. Keep your eye out for that one. But today it's all about Alkaline Trio, so I'll be playing all music by Alkaline Trio. Well, not all the songs, but all the songs I'll be playing will be by Alkaline Trio, and I will be playing my interview, which will run for about half of the show or so. If you would like to, you can check out my playlist online at www.weallfalldowncitr.blogspot.com, and you can download podcasts for this show and previous episodes of We All Fall Down and other radio shows on CITR through our website, which is www.citr.ca. Unfortunately, if you call in, I probably won't answer. It's not because I don't like you. It's just because I'm pre-recording this show. But I will be back next week. Maybe. Anyways, let's get started with some Alkaline Trio off of their album Good Morning. This song is called Fatally Yours on We All Fall Down on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver.
There's no mystery no more. Still talking to you. You had other things in store, 'cause I thought I was through. I answered every question. Is that dreaming as I turn? I don't hear from you no more, but I get the message. You crashed your car through my front door. I pulled you from the wreckage. You told me that you missed me, but you met with a good word. You kill me if you could, if it's okay. We'll be right back.
part of me that night. You didn't let me burn in. Out of my mind, but in my sight, saw the tables turning. I had a friend that needed me, made a wish that won't come true. And now it's killing too. And if it's okay, I'll just grab my shit and leave. I won't say one word, I'll keep my tricks on my sleeve. Blew up on the handle, you open fire on me. Put me down, me out of this misery. I'm fatally yours. I'm fatally yours. I'm fatally yours. I'm fatally yours.
Hello, what the hell am I doing here? That's a really nice suit that says a really comfortable chair. See, I don't know if you can help me or not, cause I don't feel sick, I don't feel sick. But the pains in my head have almost put me underground. I don't really care if I am healthy or not, just clean my head up tight. I'll give you anything you want. See, I don't know why I don't fall in love. Well, maybe I know why. Maybe you can make it stop. We'll cut it up and bury it and leave it underground. I'll take to wishing and fall under sleeping safe and sound. Just give me medicine. Shelves. I've been cut up in this room so many times it might take days. Those just cracks in the wood, how nicely they soak up the stains. Just give me medicine, prescribe me anything. Just knock me out and walk me through the door. Well, I have no desire to see through my own eyes anymore. I'm telling myself these jokes for so long. Well, so long. I'm a has-been who is heckled on this stage. Telling myself these jokes for so long. Well, so long. I'm a has-been who is heckled on this stage.
Say that it's a-okay. lost and sad, all locked up there inside. My dear, I hope it comes as no surprise. You've been known to say that you're okay when you're feeling sick inside. I just want you to know I got no place to go until the day you die. While you're waiting, be thankful for your fingers. I'll be fading with the colors of your picture. To go until the day you die.
Get hassled at all at the border coming across?
Sometimes. No, last night was awesome. Yeah. Guy came on, gave us, just looked at our passports and let us through.
That's great.
Nice.
It's so difficult for Canadian bands to get down to the States now. Like both Craig and I play music, and like the paperwork you have to go through to make it all legit. It's just like for smaller bands, it's just not worth it. To go down there.
Yeah, we used to have. Well, we were in a van. We would have a lot of problems.
That's what it is.
When they're in a van, I don't know. It seems like since we've had the bus, we still have problems. Some of us have records, like nothing crazy, but you know, just like small criminal records in the States, and that's what always holds us up. Like when they look at our records, and you know, some of us have felonies. They don't, you know, like we've got it cleared, and we've all been like, it was a long time ago, but they still know about it for some reason, and it's a problem.
Yeah. That always pops up.
Yeah. The Young Offenders Act, that's what helped me out.
Really?
If you commit any crime before the age of 18, at 18 your record gets wiped.
That's what they say, but that's not really true. They tell you that, but
really?
They still see it. You
know? Yeah.
They know about shit at the border that I did when I was 16, and they're not supposed to know any of that.
Yeah.
When they're a minor, it's...
They're supposed to, like, burn your record.
Yeah, they don't.
No,
they want to know
keep
who
it all
are. Especially now that, like, the Patriot Act and all that shit's in effect, at least in our country.
Yeah.
It's like... It's fucking...
They read your emails already anyways. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's all good. It's nice to be here. It was cool that we didn't really get hassled. But anyway.
Yeah, shall we?
Anywho, did you guys want to talk about your new album? It's coming out July 1st. Did you want to tell us a bit about, like, who's producing it, what you guys are recording it, and, I don't know, anything else you want to say about it?
Well, it's done. Josh Abraham produced it. We recorded it in Los Angeles at Pulse Studios in the beautiful neighborhood of Silver Lake. It's kind of outside of Hollywood. It's kind of more of a community over there, so it was fun. It was, like, real laid back, and we did the record in 6 weeks. We wrote it over a couple years' time, but we recorded the whole thing in 6 weeks, which for us was pretty short, or pretty quick.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because, I mean, we put in a lot of work into it, but it just happened real naturally. So it didn't take us that long to do it. It just kind of poured out of us. So we're really excited about it. I think, you know, bands always think that their new record's their best record, but I think this is our best record. But for real.
For real this time?
But for real, real.
And...
As far as production goes on it, do you guys feel you've, like, expanded as far as, like, instrumentation and overdubs and, like, general largeness? Because I've noticed the progression of your records has gradually, like, gotten bigger. The drum sounds are bigger. There's just, it's larger in general, I guess. So in the realm of things, in comparison to your previous records, would you say it's following suit and getting...
I don't know, Dan, what do you think?
No. I mean, I think from a production standpoint or like a songwriting standpoint, it's grown immensely, but production-wise, is that going to pick me up?
Yeah, sit over here, why don't you?
It's not going to be that much of a problem, but yeah.
But yeah, production-wise, I mean, we didn't really get crazy with anything. We just didn't feel like we needed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we felt like we had these songs and they kind of stood on their own really strongly. And, you know, so from that perspective, it's kind of scaled back a little bit, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it sounds bigger, and it actually sounds more produced, you know, just like, because I think it sounds slick and big and good.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever find that any restraints, because you guys are a trio, that there's things that you'd like to do, but because you won't be able to reproduce it live, that was like a backing track or something, that's limiting at all?
No, we just use backing tracks.
Yeah.
I mean, we can play the songs without it. Like, one thing we did, like, the production is just more subtle. Like, it's more textural, where on Crimson we had big piano parts and string parts, and, like, we used those elements but just ducked them, like, so that it was just gave more of a, you know, coloring rather than, mm-hmm. like, an actual part. So a lot of the songs we can play without it, it just... You know, it just definitely adds that color to it or whatever. Like, we've been playing the whole record without a sequencer, and then we played it with a sequencer. And, you know, it just sounds better. I mean, we could do it without it. It just sounds better with it. And so there's never really, I think this record, we wanted it to sound like when there was a guitar part, for the most part, like it was one guitar playing it,
mm-hmm.
rather than, like, a bunch of guitar. Like, it's just not realistic. And that kind of thing, I think, is where... bands kind of shoot themselves in the foot because they have this huge grandiose sounding thing, but then when they play it live, it doesn't sound like the record.
Oh yeah.
So we definitely like kept that in our minds when we were writing this, like how it was gonna sort of you know, transcribe live, and it's, I think it's cool. I think we don't really feel held back, and if there is something, you know, we just track it and have it in a playback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
yeah.
we never, you know, we always sing our and play our own songs. Like, if the thing quit, you'd probably never even really know it, you know, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's that time of year again. Music Waste, Vancouver's premier underground music festival, taking place June 5th to 8th at a number of venues, including the Astoria, Pub 340, and Hoko's. Music Waste will try and fit as many acts onto Vancouver stages as possible. Originally created in 1994 as a middle finger to the corporate music festival agenda, the four-day fest has become the premier outlet for up-and-coming Vancouver area artists looking to steer clear of the musical norm in its all dull and predictable glory.
Likewise, it's where festival goers experience something out of the ordinary, with unorthodox rock acts such as Bison, Basketball, Modern Creatures, and Mutators all gearing up for this year's event. And with Music Waste boasting some 50-plus bands and passes going for a seriously cheap fee, it's a festival that truly sticks to its anti-profit stance. That's Music Waste, taking place June 5th to 8th, brought to you by Only Magazine and CITR 101.9 FM.
Fred Durst?
He's like Iggy.
You are sorely mistaken. I
play something from $3 Bill, y'all.
What is that?
That's the landmark Limp Bizkit album.
Limp Bizkit? Oh my God! I mean, they...
Wait, you don't agree that those are the most crucial grooves you've heard since Funkadelic?
What, Limp Bizkit grooves? Yeah, absolutely.
It's like
the
ultimate cross between Funkadelic and Rob Tyner.
Yeah, no, I don't agree at all.
Oh, you do not deserve a radio show.
CITR 101.9 FM, your crucial groove station.
It's just a lot of BS. A whole lot of BS. It's just a lot of BS. A whole lot of BS.
You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR in Vancouver. This is We All Fall Down. I'm your host, Marielle. You are listening to a special this week. This week, I am airing my interview with Alkaline Trio, who were in town last Friday to play a show here. It was the first show of their tour. They'll be touring Canada and the States, and by August they would reach Europe, I do believe. And this is all in the effort to promote their new album, Agony and Irony, which is coming out July 1st. So keep a watchful eye out for that. You can check out my playlist online at www.wealfalldowncitr.blogspot.com. But without further ado, let's continue the interview and perhaps get to some music by Alkaline Trio. How about an old favorite of mine? This is something off of their old album, God Damn It. It's a song called Clavicle on We All Fall Down.
Every bottle got so far to go. Way to go, way to go. Forgot you got so far to go. I heard everybody's voice cut out when you spoke. And I watched all the lights go dim when your eyes opened. Well, I can't believe you showed up. What do I do now? It's last call, time to go. But before we say goodnight, let's walk home.
Time.
And so to help promote the new album, you guys have that Settle the Score contest going on. It's ending soon, but did you guys want to tell us just a bit about what's going on with that?
I'm not really sure.
There's one band that I think is going to win.
Yeah, I've seen one.
Because it's
result.
The only guys that did it. but it's
There's
really,
actually,
it's really
I,
good.
I did a YouTube search for all the videos this morning, and there are a lot more. It's just only one band is posted on that channel that you guys set up. But there's a whole bunch. There's a 7-year-old that does a cover.
Really?
That sings
on
one. Yes, it is. And there's one guy that's not from the States that does a really, it's reminiscent of NoFX almost. It's a lot faster and just a bit stripped down. But there are a lot more entries than you may think.
Yeah. All right,
we'll have to get back on there and take a look. Yeah, it was just a contest. Mm-hmm. Actually, Derek kind of came up with the idea. I don't even know why, but it's pretty interesting. We thought if we could put up the sheet music to one of our songs before anyone had actually heard us play it, and you know, see how close they could get or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Would you guys ever consider doing something like Trent Reznor has been doing lately, where he's posting all of the master tracks to a lot of his songs and encouraging remixes from fans?
Yeah, I think it's a cool idea, but he got sued over that by his label.
He did, yeah.
So I don't think we're going to be doing that anytime soon.
Uh-huh.
We have a different label, but I think it's just the thing. Like, the people at our label are really awesome, and you know, who knows, maybe we could get away with something like that, you know, with their permission. But I think it's a rad idea. It's just there's a reason that it's like a conflict of interest for the record label, but it's definitely like Trent Reznor is. Definitely a visionary and very fan conscious, and you know, now he gets to do whatever he wants, so it'll be interesting to see what he comes up with next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. On the note of record labels, you guys signed with the V2 right before, I guess, that it like went under or got consolidated. When you were left label-less, was that like? Was there any feelings of relief or like scaredness or like?
We were a little bit relieved, only in the sense that we hadn't recorded anything or given them anything yet. So it was, you know, it wasn't like, you know, we had written and recorded this record and given it to a label, and then the label goes under and your record's kind of in limbo. Like they just let us go. So it took us about a year to find and make that deal. So. We were only on that label for like a month or something before it went under, so it wasn't really that big of a deal. We were just kind of back to where we were.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, sure.
But it worked out for the best.
And then how did it come about signing with Epic, is it? Sony Epic?
Well, the guy Andy Gershon, who was the president of V2, he signed us to that label. When the label went under, he got hired at Epic as, he's like, he got a job there. Mm-hmm. And so he called us and said that he wanted to bring us over to that label.
Okay, so it was a pretty just smooth transition.
It really was, actually. You know, we knew that anywhere Andy would end up working would be a nice, comfortable place for us to go because we all really liked him.
Cool.
So it worked out, yeah.
You guys said you recorded in Silver Lake. Do you think recording in different environments shapes an album? Like working, I've been to Silver Lake, so I know it's this like kind of boho, kind of really cool people, lots of cute girls. It's a pretty cool place. Do you think that helped shape the record at all? Or
probably, maybe not in like in a real obvious way, but I think your surroundings are always going to have some influence on it. Silver Lake's way more like Chicago, where Dan and I are from. It's way more of like a neighborhood, and you know, it's you know, I don't really know. I don't know how much. It actually, you know, translated on the record, but I'm sure it had some sort of effect. We had a really good time making the record. It was a pretty mellow, laid-back process. I mean, we were really into it, and there's a lot of energy in the studio, but it was really natural and fun, and that, you know, may have had a lot to do with what neighborhood we were in. It's quite possible.
Do you think places do influence you, though? Like, growing up in Chicago, you may be different than a band from California, or growing up in a...
Yeah, absolutely. I think like your environment is definitely going to affect your songs and your everything about you. And I think bands that you grew up with, a lot of the Chicago bands that Dan and I grew up seeing, were a huge influence. So I think the weather and the bands from that town, or you know, wherever you're from, are going to have an effect on your art.
Where is there any bands you were listening to, like right, like during the album that helped? I know personally for me, like I'll listen to something and I'll find it leaks its way in. Is there any influences that you can see in yourself?
Tegan and Sarah were a big one. The Con, I think, is such a great record, and I don't think our record sounds anything like it, but when I listen to The Con, like, the flow of that record and everything and the vibe of it, it's like, we didn't want to replicate that, but I wanted for us to do a record that was, you know, just, like, tight like that and just a really had a lot of character and a lot of feeling to it. So the Con was a big one for me in writing the record.
It's a very personal album. Would you consider this new one a really personal album?
Absolutely, yeah. That's part of it too, you know. It's just a really honest, it's a, you know, a dark, sad record, but it's there's also a lot of hope to it, and it's fun, and I think in that way our records are very similar. Because Agony and Irony is a very personal record, I think. Or I know, it is.
So when it comes to songwriting, you guys have some really visual and graphically strong lyrics. Have you ever considered maybe translating that skill into something more like screenwriting or even writing a book or anything like that, or a graphic novel?
I have a timeline of things I want to do before I die, and writing a book is one. Even if it's, you know, not, it doesn't have to be anything grandiose, but a memoir or something in print. You know, we're all huge, Dan and I both read a lot, and we're huge movie fans, and I think we're both, you know, aspiring actors in our own, like, I think, like, all musicians want to be actors, and all actors want to be musicians, but yeah, I think writing music is you know, something that Dan and I have stumbled into in our lives, and it's become, you know, a huge part of our lives. But I think we both like dream of doing like screenwriting and writing books and things like that, like trying to branch out our abilities.
Rad. And you, Matt, are starting to do a lot of like painting and visual artwork as well. Do you find a lot of like there's a lot of difference when you're making something like a painting versus when you're writing a song? Like, are you drawing from the same creative motivations?
Yeah, they're really similar, actually. I mean, it's writing a song and making a painting are almost the same thing. It's different, you know, it's like a different medium, but it's very similar in the process of making it. You know, it's like they're totally different, but totally the same. Like, the way that I feel when I'm doing both is very similar. You know, I definitely, when I'm doing that, that's all I'm really thinking about, which is a great feeling. To be able to clear your mind and just focus on something is, you know, heavenly.
So if you weren't doing creative things like that, what would you be doing?
Have
you ever thought
about
that, or where would you be without Alkaline Trio? Like, what would your life have
gone? I'd probably be like a secret agent. Or an assassin or something like that. Like something real like sexy and kick ass. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I went to school for graphic design. Do it. No, let's just leave it at that. Assassin or secret agent. Or a villain.
What about you, Dan?
I'd probably sell crystal meth.
I would make crystal meth and he would sell it. Children.
An inevitable partnership there.
Yeah. Before when we started the band, we were like, should we open a meth lab or start a band? And I was like, meth lab. And then we got busted, and then we started the band. And actually, we didn't get busted, it blew up. But that's a whole other thing.
We almost killed ourselves, but you know, you live and you learn, and you know.
Yeah.
I would be the best, you know, I always strive for, you know, to do well, to succeed.
Whether that be songwriting or crystal math.
I would take it to whole new places, like Bill Gates, the Bill Gates of speed. So anyway.
Anyway.
You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. This is We All Fall Down. My name's Marielle. This week, I have a special on Alkaline Trio. I am broadcasting an interview that I had with them last Friday when they were in town playing a show to promote their forthcoming album, Agony and Irony. It's coming out July 1st. My friends Malcolm and Craig were there also to help out with the interview, so thank you very much to you too. If you just tuned in, the last part of the interview that I just played, Dan from Alkaline Trio was just saying that if he was not a musician, he would be the Bill Gates of speed. Just saying. If you wanted to download perhaps this show, or maybe past episodes of We All Fall Down, or any other shows on CITR, you can do so through our website, which is www.citr.ca. And as always, I post my playlist online at www.weallfalldowncitr.blogspot.com. I'm playing all just Alkaline Trio music today, FYI. Except for right now, I am playing an Alkaline Trio song covered by Hot Water Music. Hot Water Music and Alkaline Trio came out with a split CD EP thing on Jade Tree Records a couple years ago, many years ago, more like. And it still remains to this day a fan favorite. So without further ado, let's go to some Hot Water Music covering Radio, and then maybe some more Alkaline Trio, and then a bit more of the interview on 101.9 FM CITR.
Fucking on the head with you, my darling. The song on the back of a photograph. Behind your back it goes. A little something like this. It's way too big to miss. I got a letter in the mail that said I failed to let me know where it came from. Opened it up, sure enough, there we were.
And I have a quick personal question. Do you guys go to any specific tattoo artists, or do you guys like to go to different ones? Because I know that you guys all have work done, and I know that you have some done by Kat Von D. Do you go to her exclusively?
No, I have tattoo. I have a couple people in L.A. Kat's one of them. Juan Puentes is an amazing artist. He is working on my sleeve. But yeah, Kat and Juan are my go-to people. And when I lived up in the Bay Area, Scott Sylvia was and Jason McCaffrey were my dudes. Mm-hmm. And they're all, Kat and Juan and Scott and all those people are all kind of homies and from the same school of tattooing, so it's good. We know good tattooers, which is nice.
Nice. Today, May 30th, is also
West Memphis 3 Day.
Yeah.
Oh, the West Memphis 3 Awareness Day?
Yes, it is. For those that don't know about it, did you want to explain a little bit about that and what you guys are doing to help the cause?
We, the West Memphis 3 are a name given to these three. They were teenagers at the time. One of the guys was 16. They were all like 16 years old, and they were blamed for the murder of these three adolescent boys that in West Memphis, Arkansas, and they found these three little kids. They were abducted and bound and gagged and like slaughtered and left in the woods. And there were these three teenagers in town that were Metallica fans and wore black and read Aleister Crowley, and the whole town thought they were witches, and they got blamed for the murder. And there's a big group of people, myself included, that believe that they're innocent and that the real killer of those young boys is never brought to justice. And so the West Memphis, there's a book called The Devil's Knot that's really great. There's a couple films, The Paradise Lost, one's called Paradise Lost, and Paradise Lost 2 Revelations is the sequel to it, and that sheds a lot of unsettling light on the case. But it's really sad that the three little boys that were, you know, left in the woods that day died, and it's just as sad that there's three who I believe to be innocent boys in prison, and their lives have been ruined, you know, for something they didn't do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a really sad thing. I mean, they've been in there forever. They've been in there since 1993, and a lot of people, Eddie Vedder and Henry Rollins, there's a whole group of people that are trying to get them out. And we've done the West Memphis Awareness Days. A couple years ago, we were doing a bunch of benefit shows for them. I've done art shows to try and benefit their defense team and stuff. And it's there's new evidence that just came to light that may very well clear them. So we'll see. I mean, it sucks because you definitely feel helpless because it's sort of a sovereign state in the Bible Belt. Like, people mm-hmm. can't go in there and help somebody, and they're very stubborn about reopening the case because it would mean the police department admitting that they were wrong.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been a really slow process, especially for the West Memphis 3 guys. They're the ones that are, you know, obviously in prison. So we do everything we can. I mean, I know that they'll be free one day.
I think one of them was sentenced to death, though, wasn't he?
He was, yeah, but fortunately he's still alive. Mm-hmm. So he has one more chance at appeal, and then we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And you guys wrote a song about that came out on Crimson, didn't mm-hmm. you? What was it called?
Prevent This Tragedy.
Mm-hmm. On a similar note of activism, are you guys taking any sort of political stance or have any sort of message in regards to the current politics of the U.S. right now and the pending election? I know that you guys were active with the Rock Against Bush campaign, and that with like the tides changing right now, are you doing anything to support one candidate more than the other, or you've just kind of had enough with it now that Bush is inevitably out?
Yeah, we don't really. I wouldn't tell somebody like who to vote for, but I think it's exciting that, you know, there's definitely a potential for some real change in our government, which there needs to be. I mean, all these people that have worked under Bush and resigned, it's amazing the shit that this guy's gotten away with, uh-huh. And so hopefully, you know, I'm not a huge Hillary Clinton fan, but I'm a bigger fan of Hillary than I am of John McCain. So I think, you know, if Obama or Hillary wins, I think we'll be in pretty good shape. I'm an Obama fan myself, but there's a lot of reasons for that. Also, he's an Illinois guy. So, you know,
yeah, hometown.
There's the endorsement. Alkaline Trio endorses Obama.
I don't know if we do as a band. I definitely do as a citizen and a voter. But I think we're in good shape. I've said that when before Bush won, but I don't think McCain really stands a chance, so I think we'll be good.
Okay, okay. Sure. Heaven and hell, does it exist? What is it for you?
Yeah, it exists right here on Earth, I think, for people, you know? I think life, some of us have hard lives and we're not given the choice, but I think, you know, who knows where all this came from and where it's going, but, you know, people make choices in their lives, and I think heaven and hell is just right here, you know, right in front of us. It is what you make it. Mm-hmm.
Any comments?
Go for me.
I don't know how I feel about that anymore. I used to feel like I was very certain that, you know, you you die and you go into the ground or whatever, and that's it, you know. But there's a big part of me that doesn't want to believe that's true, so mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what I feel.
You find as you get older, you're starting to question that more?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's because I'm getting older. I just think it's because of things that are happening around me. You know, you start to feel differently about people you know and people, you know, that you don't want to not see for the rest of eternity, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Makes you want to believe something. When you want to believe something that bad, we start to question science, mm-hmm. which is something I never really did, you know? But, yeah.
Okay.
So motives, yeah. Question people's motives and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, wow. Not that bad.
Way too long, my whole life.
Listening to 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. This has been We All Fall Down. My name's Marielle. That song was called Buried. It's one of my favorite Alkaline Trio songs ever. Thus concludes my special interview with Alkaline Trio. I had a lot of fun doing it on their swanky tour bus, I might add. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you want to download a copy of this episode, you can do so at www.citr.ca, and you can even check out my playlist online at www.wealfalldowncitr.blogspot.com. Coming up next, we have Robin and Colin doing the Inkstead show, and then at 3 o'clock, Brennan and Cody are coming in to do Crimes and Treasons. So stay tuned to CITR. I'm going to leave you off now with a track off of Alkaline Trio's forthcoming brand spanking new album, Agony and Irony. The song is called Into the Night. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll be back next Thursday.